In a pie?
In a different apples taste completely differently. Yeah. Some of them dissolve.
As an apple pie maker, I'll tell you, man, different apples, you get different textures, you get different flavors. Some are sweeter, some are more sour.
Yeah, no, there's like in a pie if, listen, have, like, don't ever listen. If you give me a red delicious apple, if you give me a red delicious, I'm throwing it. Like, I'll throw a red delicious. That fucking that peasant
red
apple.
Delish. You know why they call it a red delicious?
That peasant apple. Get the fuck out of here. Delicious. Golden delicious.
Have you had Fiji?
Those are pretty good.
They are right.
Yeah.
They're okay.
All right. They're like a step
McCoon, it's like Fiji McCoon.
A rapper, two-time felons and Groupon bellas, and they push black UConn's to Groupon builders and pick up one Matt Shepard and one John Legend, and they go on a 3-month tour with Tupac's Reverend the Mecca. Send both Bronx and Mosey in Brooklyn, better hit that Detroit rail ride through the hood with them. I don't just rhyme because the rhythm feel good to them. I rhyme so every word a brother speaking you good feelings. Christmas Eve, turn to Christmas Day as a little girl with a life away.
You're live, pal. That's
all right,
JR. What up, though, loved ones? Tis I, your boy, and your compelling protagonist, Avila Powell, Handsome Bane. And joining me today is writer extraordinaire, M.E. Lissette.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We've been going back and forth for a while on, you know, on social meds and,
yes.
You know, just another person, yet another person that I met through Crystal, K-Rock at home.
Who I've never actually met in real life.
I think she was
a friend of a friend, and somehow he came up through there, and
So a friend of a friend of a friend, and now we've brought the, we took out the middle woman, and brought you in.
Right.
Speaking of the middle woman, we are still on baby watch.
Yes.
Little Olive is still in there, holed up. Inside of mommy, and these kids these days got no motivation to get up, get out, and get something.
Although, in her defense, it is winter. I'd rather come out in the spring, summertime myself.
I get it. Point, but you're comfortable. And
but you're in there. You're in there. Listen, Olive. I know you're watching this. This is your uncle. You are just about 9 months. It's time to get off of the bladder, whatever you're sitting on, and get out and make something of yourself, all right? Your mother won't tell you because she's too attached and she's too close to the situation, but I see it all. Get out of that womb and start being a productive member of society.
Motivational words from Uncle Bane.
That's it. All right.
God, that sounds like a great series right there.
That's what we started out with before, though, where I was giving, like, love advice.
Oh, no.
I was giving relationship advice with, like, the mask and, like, full voice and everything. But that's kind of how this whole thing started.
Uncle Bane. It's got a ring to it.
So, yeah, he's going to save that for later. So, yeah, that's Olive. That's the baby. We're still waiting. So she's due any day now. Just in there getting heavier. And now we're looking at, speaking of the kids, Toy Drive.
Yes.
Toy Drive. Shout out to everybody who has given money, brought toys, but a lot more money has been coming in just because it's really cold and people don't necessarily want to go out and grab the stuff and bring it to you and go through all the steps. So I just want to thank everybody for actually trusting me with the money. Because, it can be kind of shady. You know, there are people who do. Actually, I had a thing happen where somebody tried to swindle me, and it was a little, I was picking up on it. But I could be wrong, but I'll get to that. But, yeah, so just shout out to everybody who's still, like, who's sending in the money. $ Ila Powell, ILAPOW. We are up to a pretty handsome number. I actually just ordered some stuff off the WWE website, the store. They got like a crazy sale going on. They got 75% off on a bunch of stuff. And then there's an additional 25 off if it's like the order is $25 or more.
So if you don't want to give cash, could they order from there and have it shipped to you?
You could totally do that too. Let me think. Am I really into giving out my address? If it was just me, sure. I had three ladies at home, so no. But that's not to say that, you know, anybody out there is stalking me or anything like that. I'm pretty sure I'm findable. It is the internet. But you never know. So if there's also a thing that we could do, and I'll post that too. We're actually working with Level Ground MMA Gym over in Dorchester, over on Columbia Road and Hancock. We are also partnering with them to give them some things. If you want to give directly to them, you can do that. They're at Level Ground. I don't know. I don't think there's a hyphen, but at Level Ground. If you type in at L-E-V-E-L, it'll pop up. And Level Ground MMA, it's underserved, underprivileged kids. And they're just over there doing MMA. And yeah, it'll. Yep.
All right. 527 Columbia Road.
Yeah, that's them.
That is them.
And they are on Facebook.
Yep, they're on Facebook. They're on IG. They need all the help they can get. So if you look them up, if you Google them, you want to send some help, you don't want to send money over here, you want to say, hey, what can I do to directly impact the community? Right over there.
Levelgroundmma.org.
And then I think there's like a slash give in there somewhere, but yeah. You'll definitely find it. So all worthy causes. We got the BPD and Kids of Homicide. We had ABCD come in. We talked to them earlier on another episode with Alexia, which is, you guys seem to have loved that episode. We were like in the crazy plays in that one. I don't even like to look at numbers, but it was just like, hey, did you know that X amount of people have listened to this or watched this? And like, no, I didn't. So that's doing dope. Good stuff. And so I was supposed to intro you here, but whatever. You're here now. You've been here. Are you a big Tumblr user?
I'm not, because it's very busy. Mm-hmm. I like it, but I do know what's happening with Tumblr.
I used to be big
when
on
it,
Tumblr.
When it started, I loved it, but there's a lot going on there. And
because you say it's so busy, because I used to be able to like find really good memes. Or I could find, there was one account I used to, please don't be offended. His name was Niggas and Computers. It was hilarious because it was just like this, you know, he's this technophile, but he also like would be like really, really street. And it wasn't like, you know, like the thuggin kind of street, like, you know, fake. It was just like, you know, a dude from the hood. And like, it was like a dude that you knew. And he would just talk about everything. I always say, like, if you've never watched pro wrestling with somebody that's really hood, you have not lived. You have to. Like, if you could watch wrestling with Snoop Dogg, it would be an experience. So, pretty like, you've seen him do Animal Planet?
Yeah.
It would be I've like that, but Stewart. Wrestling. So, yeah, that's, it's amazing. But, so yeah, I had that guy. But then, you know, you scroll. You couldn't show somebody your Tumblr timeline because it was just like somebody likened it to somebody had like a box of dildos just like flying around, and it was like, this is basically what it's like when you open Tumblr in front of people.
Oh, you never open Tumblr
in front of people. Never open Tumblr in front of people.
Listen, you take, even at home alone, you take your phone to the bathroom and you open Tumblr there.
Because you turn it all the way down.
Yep. Turn the brightness down. Turn the volume down.
The brightness.
It's too much.
If you have the brightness up too high, shadows of porn will play on the wall behind you. Because you don't want anybody. You don't want to offend anybody. So the most offensive thing on Tumblr will pop up. Anyway, Tumblr is
always does.
Not anymore. Because.
Well, wait. It starts December 17th.
Huh. Well, they're flagging a lot of stuff already. They're flagging like crazy.
I opened mine not too long ago.
I have not been on Tumblr in a very long time.
And it's weird because you don't want to open it because you know that's what's on there.
Mm-hmm.
And you do want to open it because you know that's what's on there.
It's part of the fun, almost, it seems like.
Yeah, and almost. It's always... Here's, like, I've never found, like, you know, you can frequent a porn site and not find as interesting porn on. It's like, yo, this is art. It's just like, I'm not even aroused. This is just impressive.
What I don't understand, though, is a site like Twitter flags sensitive media, and it says sensitive media, and you know if you're clicking on it that you're taking a risk. Uh-huh. So why wouldn't they take some sort of measure like that or have Twitter premium? I'm not Twitter premium, but
Tumblr premium,
something. Because there are a lot of people that enjoy that content from Tumblr, and I've been on Reddit. I've seen what people are saying.
Right.
I think it's because there is a lot of media that they would have to flag that's not, you know, they would have to be like, this belongs to somebody else.
Yeah.
We can't, and that would already.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's about being offensive. I think it's more about, like, the ownership of whatever, and, like, I'm pretty sure a lot of stuff that people don't want to get on there gets on there. That's
Google's
like.
Google's already going through that whole, or excuse me, like YouTube is going through Article 13 or 17, where the UK is having basically ownership issue for the videos. So.
Oh, that's going to be weird for Wrestle Talk and Cultaholic and those guys.
Yeah. Well, they. There's a lot of content that you click on there, and it says this is not available in your country.
In your country, yeah.
So that's why there's different Netflix in different countries, and they banned VPNs because you can watch British mm-hmm. Netflix and get completely different content than you would get somewhere else.
Yeah,
that's crazy. But speaking of bans, well, so we're talking about porn. I know, that's so casual. My favorite account. On Tumblr, it was always the safe porn, where they would, you've seen it. I know I've sent it to you before, where they would take a scene, you know, that had really happened and had adult material on it, and then paint over it. So something safe, like, you know, you get a couple, and then it's like a man riding a horse behind a woman. Yeah, they're on the same horse, and it's like, okay.
The one where the woman's eating a giant French fry?
Okay. Yeah, the French fry, there's, of course, the banana, which is obvious. You know, the guy eating the corn on the cob. There's, what was my favorite one? Oh, the lady looking for change in a phone booth. Fantastic.
Comment below how many of you are searching for this as they, you hear this.
You can find it. I'm pretty sure, like, it's one of those things that are...
Have to put that in the links.
Tumblr's like, you know what? It's fine. So, yeah, rest in peace, safe porn. Also, speaking of bans, we got the maps. And anybody familiar with what's going on with the map situation? These guys coming over to Twitter from Tumblr?
No.
Minor attracted persons.
Whoa.
Looking for a refuge in the land of Twitter. And so they, you know, people are ready. People are ready to greet them, aggressively and block and all that because, they're putting that in their names, obviously. It's like non-offending maps, you know.
How do you non-offend with it?
Because they're just into it. They don't do it, or so they say. They just say, no, I just like to look at it. It's like you're still enabling it, you psycho. You're still a part of it, nasto. But, yeah, so there's that. And a lot of people are up in arms. There are other people who are trying to defend it, obviously, and there are people... where's the other one? There's another map for... Sorry. You gotta do a shout out to Kellen Conley. What does he call it? Podcasting 101.
Podcasting 101.
Yep. Magnetically. Nope, it's not magnetically. It's basically artists online. I'll find it at some point. But yeah, so a lot of people are like, hey, you know, I also have map in my name because I'm a designer, like I make stuff online, and so you know, please don't block me. And it's like, hey, you know, fight the other guy that's taking your name. But it's like, we gotta be careful because, you know, I have like a couple of pictures of my kids on thing. I don't know anybody, you know, I don't want to imagine anybody imagining anything. So like it's really weird and scary and gross. And, you know.
Just makes me think of the North American Marlon Brando lookalikes.
Whoa, what?
That sounds like a horrible, horrible.
From South Park?
Yes, there we go.
Think back a long time ago.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, definitely the same principle applies. Nambla. Boy, where is this? Anyway, so yeah, so just be on the lookout for that kind of thing. Map, figure out exactly what they're doing, because there's a lot of people that's like, oh yeah, no, I don't do anything. I just admit to being into it.
Oh, and, that's why. Nambla.
Yeah.
And them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The North American Marlon Brando lookalikes. Aha! I see Nambla.
Were they trying to sue?
No! Oh, yeah, they had an issue.
It was the person that looks like Marlon Brando from the Doctor Island movie.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it's called.
Island
of Dr. Moreau. Told Cartman that, yeah, I'm part of a great organization that you'd fit right into called Nambla.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cartman found the wrong Nambla, so the North American Marlon Brando lookalikes had a throwdown with the other Nambla. It's a fantastic episode. Everyone should look it up.
Check it out, Nambla, for anybody else who doesn't know what the other Nambla is. Just suffice it to say that the words man, boy, love appear. That's a part of that, so gross. Anyway, let's get out of this basement and let's talk about you. Okay, you like that. Let's talk about you, and you're a writer.
Yes.
Oh, the writer, we'll say that.
It says it in my name, so you know it's
so
true.
So explain your name, yes, please.
All right, so Emmy Lissette started, I was supposed to be M-E, my initials, and then since my last name's French, I figured, well, Lissette, that sounds a little bit like one of my other names, so I'll just make it French and kind of matches up. But somewhere along the line in the internet world, people just start calling me Melissette.
Yeah.
So now I'm like,
that's what I thought. I'm like
Cher. Huh? This isn't a bad thing.
It was like,
rolls off the tongue. No one else is called Melissette, so let's do this.
Nice. And it's like, oh, you know.
I don't know what that's going to mean for my copywriting, but. Just go with
it. It could be a nickname. You can always do that. So what's your genre? Like, what are you writing? And
it is.
And you don't have to be, don't feel pigeonholed by the fact that it's a genre.
You are so words.
I would say generally science fiction.
Okay. Ooh.
So sci-fi, fantasy, but I do like to make it like a thriller component to it. So you don't really know what's going on, and you don't know that you're getting into science fiction.
Okay.
At least in the current work that's going to hopefully be coming out next year. We did an author proof release back in August 2017 at Boston Comic Con, and it's changed a lot since those days.
Right.
And it's being rewritten even still with a different ending and all. But I will say that you don't know it's sci-fi when you first get there. And then you start reading it and you wonder, what is going on? And then we just jump into the sci-fi and we roll with it. And it's a lot of fun, at least I think so. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. And I wanted something that was different that I would want to read. Mm-hmm. That's not based on anything, because it seems like right now you've got re-releases of all kinds of old stuff and no one's doing anything new and original. So if you read my material, you definitely know I'm a fan.
That's one thing that we always yell about on this show, is that we're tired of remakes. And it's like, you know the remake is going to be bad. It's just like, it's a cash grab. And, you know, like, I'm just glad to see somebody take some initiative and, you know, say, like, let's do something new, because people are tired of the same old.
Like, we needed another Magnum P.I., seriously. This is the best we come up with, Magnum P.I.
They did Mag... What was it? Is this CBS, too?
I'm trying to think.
CBS is just... They're redoing MacGyver.
They did it. And it's... Where's Patty and Selma in all of this?
Who's playing MacGyver?
Some young dude. Doesn't even have hair that's MacGyver-ish.
MacGyver wasn't that young, though.
He was.
You know, like, everybody looks 30s. Older back in the day. Though. Like, everybody looked, like, super. Like, if you look at your parents' like yearbook, everybody had, like, mustaches and, like, suits and ties, and they looked super old. And,
right,
like,
and they're, like, 16. And
they're like, yeah, it's like, no, he was 16. I'm like, but he had a full-time job. Like, why don't you look?
There was something on a meme someone sent me, and it was Molly Ringwald and her age. It said Molly Ringwald is the same age that Wilford Brimley was in when he starred in Cocoon, jeez, which was a movie about old people.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what is going on. I don't know. Yeah, you just got some boxy old people these days. I will say that.
Yeah, people are like.
You get it, Grandma.
I don't want to ask this, but how old is pretty much any? Like, black people are vampires. It's been proven. But who we got? Why am I drawing a blank on her? Angela Bassett.
She is.
Don't even look up. Well, you're gonna look up the age because you're the facts guy. She like 85. Watch.
Do you want to know?
I do.
She's 60.
Get what?
Get the Falco. You see what I'm saying? Like, look at Angela Bassett. Jeez.
Damn.
Man.
That's a good.
And they 60. Tried to make her look old. Like, yeah, they tried to make her look old there. They tried to make her look old in Black Panther with the.
She still did. She looked 40 something.
She looked, her skin was super tight and was like, oh yeah, she's got gray braids.
Maybe she's drinking souls every year.
That has to be like baby souls. And something that you could write about.
There we go.
You know, it just starts out with Angela Bassett. And she's just.
This is how the.
Angela Bassett, vampire hunter? Or vampire? Just vampire.
You know.
She should be a daywalker.
There's something about this.
She could be the new Blade.
This may be terrible sounding, but imagine every time someone goes to abort, the soul of that baby.
Oh no!
Is what they use.
Oh no, Mike. Mike, no.
I'm gonna go.
There was an episode of South Park about that too.
Oh yes,
no,
they did.
No, it's not.
It was a Shakey's pizza.
No.
Or was it? Was
oh,
it?
No.
I, yeah.
Was it that
no,
or? No.
Or was that the stem cells?
How long have you been writing?
Too long.
Write yourself out of this.
I started when I was a kid with goofy stories and stuff, and when I was in high school, I began writing different material and short stories, and I wrote for the local newspaper and things like that. And then I started doing some wrestling journalism in the early days of wrestling internet, which is actually...
Also, it's your fault.
Not it.
So it's all your fault.
I got out of it before it got popular, but...
Did you leave when Zangus started cutting down?
Zangus. That is actually where I met my wife. No, seriously. I met my wife on Zangus.
So I did some of that, and from there I went into broadcasting and ended up getting a regular job because money's good. Mm. It's nice to have money and, you know,
pay rent.
It's a tool that you need.
Yeah, so and, the more I worked, the farther away from the writing I got, and then somewhere along the line I went back to college and I picked the writing back up, and this book that I am working on now, it started as a short story for a creative writing class, and it's like, okay, well, let me just hammer this out, but I just got obsessed with it, and like even now I'm still working on it, all because I took this class. It just changed everything, and I remembered how much I loved it, and I got back into it, and I've got a million other ideas I'm working on, so now it's a lot more frequent. And
so how do you keep that momentum? Because that's one of the things that a lot of people who write talk about, where it's just like, you know, you hit that block and it's just like, is it like you kind of write your way out of it, or, you know, what would you say, how do you keep that obsession with it?
Make a playlist. Think about every character you have, what song best represents their personality.
Okay.
And search for that. You have your playlist. You can always go back to that song and it reminds you what it is about this person, or it's an element of that individual that you created. And it kind of helps you get back into that spirit.
Hmm.
So that is one way.
Okay. Yeah, because I hear people...
I've got playlists for everything I write. But I've got playlists for playlists.
Ah.
I have a playlist for driving to Gillette Stadium.
It's like, yeah, my daughter, I make a playlist for Jada when it's time to go to jiu-jitsu. And it's a lot of wrestling.
Excellent.
Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, that's her jam. So
listen,
you're raising her right.
Spotify showed me that the songs that I listen to the most happen to be Disney movies this year.
Yeah.
Moana.
That's the one. Number one.
It's probably about 6 months or so that last year sometime that any time did something for my daughter and she said thank you, it'd be like, you're welcome.
And then she rolled her eyes.
We're past that. No, well, she's too cool for mom, you know? She's at that age now. It's like, okay, she's figuring out mom's a huge dork.
You know?
And in some level, you think having a cool parent like you or me.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
the
kids would be intimidated, but
I'm super lame. And
I thought my kids would be intimidated by me, but they think I'm kind of cool and hilarious.
Really? Mine just thinks I'm lame.
I'm like, no, I mean, I can really snap your little neck, but whatever.
No,
but in a loving way.
Yes.
I know that the day is coming where they just went, you're lame. And then it's also going to be like, hey, wait a minute. And then they're going to get up. Because, you know, for me, it was like, I never thought my mom was a lame because I knew more about her past. Like, I mean, I didn't want to know that much. But there was like stuff that, you know, as like I already knew when I was a kid that she was a DJ. So I was like, oh, kind of can't be a lame if you can do this.
Yeah.
And I've seen her work where it was like, you know, like the mixing, she has a move that she calls the airplane sound, where like everything, like it's playing like a second behind the other one, should do two of the same record.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it's in an airplane just because of the way that she's playing the song right behind itself. It's a pretty cool, it's a dope move.
And in those days, it wasn't
right.
like
they didn't,
it is now.
It wasn't.
All
yeah, it was vinyl.
It was on vinyl.
She'll do it with vinyl. Yeah, she's like, oh, I got the direct drive. All right, let's do this, and she'll do it. She can still do it, and so for me, I was like, oh, okay, so she was never a lame. And then you know, you see old pictures of your parents, and you're like, yo, mom, parents were like really attractive people. They weren't like just these bums. And so, when I had a kid and I was like, you know, I'm sitting there watching Sesame Street and I'm like, I used to be cool at one point. Like,
I only had one cool moment with my kid, and it was, she really likes Stranger Things. She loves Finn Wolfhard. So I took her to see Calpurnia at the Paradise.
Okay.
And if you've ever been to a club, you know when the lights go out that there's going to be a rush. And so this happened, and some kids are trying to get in front of my kid. I was not having it.
Right.
I'm an old club kid. It's like, we're not doing this, okay? You're not, no. And I'm the only mom in the audience.
Right?
So I'm like the oldest person in the room. And they try to pull that stuff, and I'm blocking them.
You're using like mom strength.
And I'm also probably the first adult they ever swore at.
Oh.
So I think that a lot of milestones happened that night. But my daughter was like, mom, those girls over there said that was really cool what you did. I was like, yeah. That's probably the last cool moment we're going to have for a long time. Mm,
she'll never forget that. So.
Well, how old is your daughter?
She's 10.
Yeah, she'll never forget that. That's burned in that memory.
I get a lot of eye rolls, though. Mm. You know.
Screw them.
It's okay.
As long as they weren't the two from your kid.
Oh, wait. I have a 5-year-old daughter. How is that going from the age that you liked to this age now?
It's a transitional phase, and it's gradual, so you don't really see it happening. You don't wake up one day and all of a sudden your kid's mouthy. It's happens in stages.
Hmm. Damn.
It
means I have nothing to do.
No, I see, because he had his second kid is the girl. So you know how second kids can be, where it's just like, that's the psycho, and
second
my second kid.
Opposite.
That's
exactly.
True, but your dad. If you're dad and you got a girl, you have You already have it going on because girls and dads always have that bond. And it's just different. It's like mama's boys, there's something to that.
Yeah.
And the internet might argue that point, but I think we've all seen enough of it that we can say that's a thing. It's just a different dynamic. And I think that that happens with girls as well.
Yeah, my second is going to, like, she, I always talk about this, but my second is she's going to be she's the psycho between the two. But she's probably going to be more prone to jump on somebody for messing with big sister. And I, not to say that that big sister won't do the same, but like little sister's more likely to like put somebody in a hospital, to where it's like, you know, a bottle to the back of the head kind of thing.
I was the second kid, and my brother and I could not be more different. Like,
it was just like injured.
We don't even look related. Someone came up to us at something one time, like, "Oh, are you together?" I'm like, "No."
Ew. Weirdo. No way. Yeah, like, people never take that into consideration. Like, why did every time like you show up with somebody else, somebody of the opposite sex, like, "Oh, you guys are together?" Like, no, freak. But anyway, we're talking about, you know, you're talking about how you overcome the block or whatever, mm-hmm. but like, what do you find frustrating, or what's like the difficult part for you then, if you already have that built in?
A lot of times I'll have the entire concept in my head like a movie. Mm-hmm. And so you know where you're going to start and you know where it's going to end. How do you get to the end?
Okay.
And so for me, because I watch a lot of movies and I love TV and I love film, I always am very conscious of plot holes.
Okay.
And little details with the character. If you have a certain skill set, how come you're doing this when you're not supposed to be able to do X, Y, Z? Or you can't just say, "Well, that's okay because this is fantasy."
Right.
I'm not okay with that. And we know fanboys aren't okay with that. And so I've done everything I can to fanboy proof my work and fangirl proof my work. You know, it's longitudinal.
Yeah.
If you're a fan and you have an opinion, I don't want you to read my stuff and have a million more questions and say, "Well, how come this happened and blah, blah, blah." I hope to explain that away.
Right.
Whether or not I succeed is something entirely different. I'm a big fan of movies and television. I think that that's reflected in my material.
Yeah. I think, because one of the things I'm constantly referencing, like, movies and shows, if something comes up where you talk about a concept or something, I was just like, "Oh, that's like..." I almost feel like a Family Guy cutaway every time I talk about something, because there's always something that I've watched or listened to that reminds me of something else that plays out. So it's just like, we're talking about, you know, reboots and remakes and how, you know, they should be avoided at all costs. But then it's like, it's also like, there's nothing new. In the sense of, like, we've seen all the stories before, but at least let's put another name on it and some different characters, or put another, you know, different type of reaction.
No, and if you have characters from the past, there's things you need to consider as well. Someone from the 1980s that's here today now, what's that person going to be like?
Right.
Yeah, they're going to be like, "What? Exactly. What are you talking about? This is going to be a bizarre world to them."
How do you feel about what's happened with Luke Skywalker?
I'm going to duck right now as I say this. I am not a fan of the new Star Wars movies. I'm going to pay for them. I'm going to watch them. And I'm going to leave the cinema disappointed. I go on the message boards. And I read that if you don't like the new ones, that you're just a hater and you're old. And when there's zero continuity, there was a whole book series by Timothy Zahn, which was fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's what pisses most people off about it, is that it just completely like ignores anything that had already happened that was canon before. And
I get that element, but
wait, hang on. Can I ask which new Star Wars movies?
Prequels? I don't even count the prequels as existing.
Oh, okay.
Like, to me, those never got made in my own personal universe, and you can say whatever psychological illness I might have to make me believe that, but in my world, those don't exist. Okay. And we're just talking about the newer ones, but there's things about them I like. Mm-hmm. But I... Ray is such a goody two-shoes. Such a goody two-shoes.
Yeah, I do. I would like another dimension to her. I would like another dimension. Like,
and then they Kylo's still,
I think they have
I like Kylo, though. He's more interesting.
I think they have
Kylo
enough...
Has dimension. He does. That's actually what it is. Kylo isn't so rigid. Like, he's...
Yeah. I think that if they wanted to do something with... Like I said, I still think there's time to do something with Rey.
Mm-hmm. Well, consider this. If you want to go back, and I know that they're saying all the old Star Wars stuff doesn't really apply to this, but historically, if you have a British accent, you might be evil.
Right. So.
So we just need to, I don't know.
Yeah.
Spoilers or not.
So I'm thinking that, like, as far as Luke, and I think, like, people, like, really just lost their mind, Luke just looks exhausted. Like, Luke looks like me at the end of the day after driving, you know, 3 or 4 hours.
And you've been to Disney on Ice.
Right. Like, Luke looks, you know, I get it. It's just like people who got upset about Logan or, you know, thinking. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, if you don't really compare to, like, until you bring up something like a soldier with PTSD, then it's like, oh, yeah, he might just be exhausted. And I kind of got the Luke character. And also just being like an old disgruntled parent who used to, you know, who can always remember. Like, I never wanted to grow up. When I was a kid, yeah. I knew how good I had it. So I never was the type of kid. Like, I wasn't the teenager trying to drink or, you know, do like be super adult in anything where it was just like, no, dude, I'm good. Like, if I can be 16 and live in the house, I don't want to buy toilet tissue.
I know. So, one of the things that they were missing to make that, because you understand it, and a lot of us understood, he's tired, is that whole, in the whole first act, them trying to contact Luke, like, I'm not.
Yeah, like, he's just missing so much, where it's like our friend, we all have that friend, that introvert, that, like, goes missing. Mm-hmm. And you know,
that's usually me.
You're concerned about that friend, like, you know,
but there's nothing wrong with
but
him.
There's or there is but they think that they're bothering you, or they also, you know, because introverts use a lot of energy just being around people, and so you're like, you know, especially like me, I'm a little more extroverted, so, like, you know, I do get it. I gain energy from being around people. Like, I do a podcast. Like, I want people to show up and hang out. But, you know, my introvert friends who are just like, yeah, I'm not coming. And it's like, but come, though. You know, so it's like.
I kind of swing both ways with that.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm in, I get into introvert mode. And I think what it is I sometimes need to be alone to kind of recharge. Mm. And exactly, I don't need to be like that all the time.
Right.
Just once in a while, I just need to extract myself, and I need to lay in bed with my phone and watch a lot of television and fall asleep, take a few naps, order a pizza, you know, and just have that alone time.
The other thing for me is, like, I really like my house. And so, like, for me to, like, get out of, the only time I really leave is work and the podcast. Like, but, you know, if something is going on, I'm not going to stay in the house because I don't want to be out of the house. I'm going to stay in the house because I'm old and I'm washed.
Well, like, you commute to work every day.
I'm tired. Like,
a lot of people don't want to come to the city on the weekend because they spend all week in the city and they're dealing with the tea. And
exactly.
There's a lot of different elements to it. And home is pretty good.
Home is dope.
And as an adult in this day and age, home is fantastic.
Everything in my house is already paid for.
Right. We don't have
a cabinet.
We don't have pushbox
cable
channel changing.
No.
Like, back in the day, you don't have to get up off the couch. I was the remote control. Like, hey, go change the channel.
Remember that?
That's why you had children, so that you didn't have to get up off the couch to change the channel yourself.
Or wash dishes.
That too. So, I mean, We have it really, really good. And
when you think about it, your parents used to have kids for the specific tasks that they didn't want to do.
And their parents were like, I have a farm, and exactly. I do not feel like paying farm hands.
Right, they're like, let's all go. I need to do is have 12 kids. Let's go, wife.
Yep. Oh, gosh. Pound them out. Let's go. They're having kids like 5 months apart. Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah, they used to, they were terrible.
Yeah, but the older ones take care of the younger ones. Mm-hmm. So, as the parents, you sit back and you just get respect.
Come on, let's get twins.
Like, you know what?
You get unnecessary respect. Like, just because you're the creator doesn't really mean you're that good. Right. All right,
so back on task. You ever written anything that you feel different about now than you did when you first wrote it?
Oh, yeah. There's short stories that I wrote because I needed practice, and some of them were based on things that actually happened to friends and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times there are things that were just creative writing, and I go back and read them, and they're so different to me, and I can't really relate to it. But
because you're not that person anymore.
Yeah. And I've got. I mean, this is dorky, but I used to be like a little grunge poet, and I still have all my notebooks somewhere.
Very Avril Lavigne.
More into like Pearl Jam and that.
Avril was just like
Avril came later on.
Avril was Avril, but she was like the I don't want to say sterile, but she was the.
She could say sterile.
She was the pop version of that.
She married Nickelback. Yeah. It tells you everything you need to know. I don't want to get hate from people who love Nickelback because
Nickelback?
I made a comment someone said, like, I don't understand the Nickelback hatred. It's like, you know what? You like what you like.
Nickelback is more fun to sing than it is to listen to.
Yes.
You start doing all the
enjoy Nickelback parodies. Yes. Those are fun.
They are. Creed. Oh, yes.
Look at this guy right here. He was just drinking beer.
Anywhere you call him. Like, fan.
With arms wide open.
No, that's not.
I love that.
No, who did. I was singing. When I first moved here, and we were working at the Bay, it was me, Annabelle, and Leonard. And we just started singing,
Montel Jordan?
No. We sang My Sacrifice. And then it was just like, we did the hook to My Sacrifice, and we all sang three different, like, harmonizing parts on the We'll Fly part. And it was like, we stopped and looked at each other like,
damn, that was good.
Did we just become best friends? It's like, first of all, we're not supposed to know this song. everybody hit what, like, it was the three of us singing. We all hit, like, three different, like, did I go soprano? We all did a soprano, alto, tenor part. It was just, like, it was unplanned. Mm. It was just there. Like, the planets had aligned and everything just worked.
I don't care how alt you were or how cool you were back in the day. Everybody was a Closet Hanson fan. Everyone
my
has
older
sung
brother,
Mbop.
My older
whether
brother,
or not they admit to it.
My older brother, God rest his soul, used to tell people that we actually wrote Mbop. Like my brother, like my brother and my other two, the three of us. He said that we had been ripped off by Hanson. We had recorded the first. We made the reference track to Mbop, and then he was just like, it was just so full of shit, but it was a really good running gag. No, that's why we were so into it. Triple H, he hurt himself. Remember when he was playing My Sacrifice?
Oh,
he was quad,
right.
And he had to get
yeah fixed. That was hardcore. Yeah, like it popped out of his leg.
He was ridiculous, and he came back like He had two Thanksgiving turkies on his chest.
It was huge. He was
bigger than anyone had ever seen.
That was.
He had the leather denim. He had the leather and the denim jacket when he came back.
Listen, it didn't make sense how he was wearing
huge.
A 4X jacket, and it was like
a V.
And I'm like, wow,
dog, what? And
that was
because
insane.
They were playing My Sacrifice.
That's right.
Steroids involved. Yeah, right.
Zero.
Okay.
And then getting
right.
vitamin injections.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Vitamin injections. Yeah. Very commercialized.
So.
Did we just should we trademark that?
Vitamin injection.
Vitamin injections. That's
it. You got.
We've written about 4 movies in
you got
in copyright the time that we've been here.
Content. Yeah, that's what we have.
It's what happens off camera that doesn't make it on
had
here.
I just had an idea for a thing. I always have ideas for WWE storylines.
I have a question about your writing.
Okay.
So, one of your characters, what is their playlist?
Oh, you know what? I need the characters to make their own playlists. Just to add more levels to this.
Oh.
But I will say that my playlist that I have it's so crazy diverse. I've got everything from Dusty Springfield to Raphael Siddiqui.
Hey.
Raphael Siddiqui is super underrated.
He's fantastic. You know, he was a big inspiration to Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even know until I saw the documentary. Tony was. They were great. They were great. He's from them.
He's one of my favorites ever.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of work with Issa Rae on Insecure, yeah.
You know, super good. The thing about Amy Winehouse that I just love that raw.
Yeah, she was really guttural, especially like during Frank. She was a little more refined by the time we got back to Black. But for Frank, she did like a lot more runs, and she would just go crazy with stuff.
She was a legit music nerd, though.
Mm-hmm.
Legit. She knew Ella. She knew everybody, and she studied that stuff hard, and Tony Bennett had mad respect for her.
Tony Bennett had
they worked together on that one song.
Then that's the thing, because she's, you know, she would have a lot of get love from Tony Bennett and then like make a song about Nas.
Yeah.
It was just like make a song about going to see Nas, and then she had one of her songs, In My Bed, is from the Frank album, was just a direct, like, she just sang, what was the song? Made You Look. They shoot, Made You Look. Oh, you're a slave to a page in my rhyme book. That was, you know, one of Nas's albums, the songs from, Godson, I think. And she just took that beat and just sang about one night stands. And it was amazing. And it was like, this is her song now. But I love Amy. And I don't know how we got on the topic of Amy, but that's dope. I'm here for it.
We're talking about playlists.
Next topic.
Next topic.
To rip off Kellen Conley. Christmas movies.
Ooh.
Let's do it. So we wanted to talk about, just unconventional Christmas movies that, you know, everybody's going to watch The Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are too lazy to turn from TNT or TBS, they're going to watch it like 5 times before they realize, I've been watching this movie for the past 7
years.
Hours, so let me, you know, so shake people out of that. Let's recommend some Christmas movies that don't really come up as Christmas movies. You're the guest, so you go for it.
So before this all began, probably in the past couple months, all right, I want to point out that my dad and I have been doing this since I was pretty young. Because my dad is not a Christmas movie kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my dad...
And I think that's what this list is for, actually.
Yes. Me and my dad were movie buddies, and I would sneak up late and sit on the couch and watch Hill Street Blues when I'm supposed to be in bed and stuff like that. So,
Fire-ass theme song.
Yeah. Excellent theme song. Deserves some lyrics. When we got into the holiday time, my mom would always have Christmas movies. And it's like, well, me and dad need some Christmas movies. So we decided that Die Hard takes place at Christmas, and this was going to be our Christmas movie. And now apparently it's a tradition with other people.
Yep.
And now there's this argument about whether or not it's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
If you've ever seen it, it is a Christmas movie.
I mean,
it kicks off the Christmas season.
It's happening. The whole storyline is happening around that time of year anyway.
Exactly. So.
And it's a miracle. It's one guy is bleeding from the feet.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a Christmas miracle that's taking place.
And if you haven't seen Die Hard as an adult, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, I saw Die Hard a long time ago. If you haven't seen it as an adult, you get there's some humor in there that you don't catch.
And then you're like.
And you're like, this is a much better movie than I thought
it was. It's Carl Winslow before I hated his guts.
And he's got a thing for Twinkies in that movie.
Lamb is looking at his shoes.
But
trying to figure out
definitely, if you want to go Tough Guy Christmas, I would suggest
anybody ever play a computer game?
There's a computer game?
There's like a DOS. Like
oh.
A DOS computer game.
No.
Oh, goodness. It
we need to find this.
You can.
There's
got to
be a module online of it somewhere.
Yeah. It has some really dope music. But I am going to.
Soundtrack.
I'm gonna just come out the gate hard with this one. Jaws the Revenge.
Ooh.
It takes place during Christmas. And this is like the fourth Jaws movie, but the studio had labeled it the third Jaws movie. Mm-hmm. So the third in the trilogy, because they just completely disavowed Jaws 3, I guess. But there's it's super weird. I don't get it, but you know, what do I know? Somebody actually gets eaten, and you can't hear it happening over carolers. Like somebody is on a dock for whatever reason, singing Christmas carols, and for whatever reason, this deputy goes out into the water because I don't know if they said it was a whatever, but it's super weird.
This sounds amazing.
It is. If you want to watch something just, you know, because it's like, let's do something different Christmas, and I hate Christmas movies, so, or you hate traditional Hallmark type Christmas movies, this is the one, because it happens. And then they just go to the Bahamas at some point. Michael Caine is flying a plane, that rhyme.
Excellent. Austin Powers' dad.
Yeah. Michael Caine. Michael. Yeah, so and then the Jaws apparently follows them to the Bahamas. It's super. It's
I'm
amazing.
Sorry. It's I want to go home and watch this right now.
So Jaws the Revenge, yes, fire it up. Not Jaws 3, the Revenge, and it says like the tagline is actually this time it's personal.
Ooh, that's where that came from.
Maybe.
Ooh. This is a movie history we're talking
this
about
time
right here.
It's personal.
That's excellent.
With Jaws 3, there was like, I just listened to this on Cracked. There was like a plan to make it just a flat out parody of all the other Jaws movies.
Not Sharknado.
It would have been even better.
It was, what they had set up was amazing because, who was in the first one?
Wait a minute. She just badmouthed Sharknado, which is oddly enough the biggest shark movie out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, besides
I didn't
Jaws.
Really badmouth it. I said it's like a
it is what
Jaws,
it is. You know? The Sharknado,
but every
it leads
year,
into what it is. And that's what Jaws 3 was supposed to do. And Richard Dreyfuss was coming back for it. Richard Dreyfuss was like, I'll come back and do this. And then Spielberg was like, listen, if you make fun of Jaws, then I'm going to leave the studio. And he, but then, you know, they still made Jaws 3 and it was trash, so.
I don't know, Jaws is a family tradition. Every year they show it at the Cabot up in Beverly for summer kickoff. It's like Labor Day weekend. And they show it every year, and every year me and my daughter were there, and we were like cheering.
And then in part two, the guy is still the mayor. Get out of here, dog.
How is that guy
you
still
the mayor? You are trash. All right, give
next
us another one.
Next Christmas movie, Rocky IV. I think it's Rocky IV. Rocky fighting Ivan Drago.
Yeah, that's
Christmas
four.
Day.
That's four.
No, five is Rocky Balboa.
Five is five against Tommy Gunn, the kid that he trained, and there was a street fight.
Okay.
That a lot of people disavowed. And then yes. It was like, the next that's one was Rocky right, that's Balboa. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Because you can watch Rocky 1, miss all those, and then catch, like, the last Rocky, and you're pretty much... Like, stuff happened in between, but you can pretty much not watch the whole series and be okay with just those two, and you have an open and a close. And it's really... And Sylvester Stallone, oddly enough, is one of my favorite writers.
He's
because
doing
he writes
thing,
the Rocky like, movies, yeah. And he's my personal hero because of the movie Rocky. But Rocky fights Ivan Drago at Christmas. 1980s. Russia is evil. Oddly enough, Russia is apparently evil again.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Back.
So history has come back. So this might be the movie for you, especially this holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And, ooh. You know, I would be interested to see if the number 45 appears like in the background somewhere in Iraqi.
You know, and we have Creed 2,
already
which I have not
collusion.
Seen. I have not seen Creed 2, but I'm wondering. So what I need to
that
see
takes
it.
Place
does this take place at Christmas
yet,
too?
But I need to
comment below. No spoilers.
That would be great if they did just
I know.
Be a throwback level.
I always love
because
how
it is they're like, fighting Drago's son in Creed 2.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love how like they show the people they show these guys training. And they're like breaking bags and bricks and whatever else.
We did
and
that before the show.
They're just landing haymakers on each other, open face haymakers. Like, if you've ever seen a boxing match where somebody lands a punch like that, the fight is over. You go to sleep for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to wake you up and make sure you didn't die. But they take these shots to the face like crazy. And this is happening in Christmas in Rocky.
Christmas.
So enjoy it.
For Christmas that year, a bloodbath.
No, I'm getting a concussion.
It was
thanks.
Great.
It's fun. Don't let me fall asleep. Thanks, guys.
Keep him awake for like 2 days.
I'm going to stay awake and make sure that Santa Claus is real. What is that in my ear?
It's a buzzing. What is that?
It's a ringing. Could that be 8 tiny reindeer? No. No, it's a concussion. So, Batman Returns? Anybody?
No.
Anybody?
No.
It is definitely a Christmas film.
Was it the first one a Christmas film as well? No, it wasn't. It just
they just had the parade.
Yeah,
they had the parade at the end. El Dukaru, as he called it. But no, this one actually has Christmas. Gosh.
Penguin was very mad.
Yeah. Did Penguin have a parade too? I remember him having like the giant duck.
Yeah, there was a parade of penguins.
Mm.
And
that does constitute Christmas.
There you go.
Penguins are very
Antarctic animal, sure. And then
there's walk like a penguin.
So yeah, there's Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing it now.
It made the needle move when I was a kid. it did. They, but no, it's like insane how they had to get her in the costume. Like they had to vacuum the air out of the actual costume and like.
And we need to give her respect as an actress for being able to wear that and still
and
talk.
And yeah.
And I mean, that's like some Scarlett O'Hara stuff where they're like,
and I mean,
you
they
know,
do
suck
that.
In and they're pulling
right.
the corset. It's like
right, and of, I mean, obviously they're doing that now with the super form fitting costumes, but like now men have to do it, and they're like women that are like, yeah, finally, you know, it's like why would you want us to also be in pain? It's just like kind of Schadenfreude. Jeez, but
all women want men to suffer on some level.
I mean, we trash. It's fine. But yeah, so, you know, in Batman, well, 3, there was supposed to be a Tim Burton 3 version, and we were supposed to finally get Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face. And
Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face?
Billy Dee Williams was Harvey Dent in the first one.
Holy
Billy Dee
crap.
Williams was Harvey Dent.
Forgot about that.
And so in 3, he was supposed to finally change.
You know,
we're going to get that.
On topic, but off topic. There are some stuff that happened with Tim Burton around that time with things that didn't get made. Like Superman starring Nicolas Cage, which would have been amazing because it took place after Superman's death. So
it would have been...
I mean, Nicolas Cage is Nicolas Cage in every movie. because he's Nicolas Cage. That's part of what makes him so amazing.
Was the end of Gone in 60 Seconds? I'm blown away. It's like, fam, you don't seem like it.
You have to see
He's the best and the worst at the same time.
He is.
He's like, amazing.
I love him for...
Shout out to Nicolas Cage, old trash ass.
Hey, was The Rock on Christmas?
Mm-hmm. He, well, he's our national treasure.
No, you mean the Alcatraz movie?
Yeah.
With it? I don't know.
I feel was like The Rock was a holiday during that movie.
A Christmas film.
How did I miss this?
Or we was need to it add that to the rotation. Con Air?
Oh, Con Air.
Was Con Air?
No, that was not a Christmas, but that is one of the greatest motion pictures of all time.
Such a great
My poor kid, every time she has not had the stomach flu in a while. And lucky for her, or unlucky, because every time she's had the stomach flu, I've made her watch Con Air.
Jeez. Dave Chappelle died in Con Air. Spoilers. That was awful.
So another Christmas movie, the one I'm going to say now, it's a bit more family friendly, is called Get Santa. It's British, and it's a bit newer. And what drew me to this movie was that it had Warwick Davis. Now, a lot about you as a person can be judged depending on where you know Warwick Davis from. Do you know him from Harry Potter? Do you know him from Willow? Do you know him
from... I'm a great sorcerer!
He's been in a lot of
and
stuff.
Leprechaun, yeah.
Oh, especially Leprechaun. Leprechaun is fantastic. If you're not watching that, what's wrong with you? But
look at Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis. Shout out to Warwick. Was one of the reasons I decided to give this movie a chance. And
oh yeah.
Oddly enough, turned it on this year, and something that I completely missed last year because the current season of Doctor Who had not yet come out, was that the mom is played by Jodie Whittaker.
Okay.
So she came on screen, and my daughter starts yelling, "That's the Doctor! That's the Doctor!" So that's another reason to give this movie a shot. But it's different because, as an 80s kid, there are always some sort of Twilight Zone or some weird movie where Santa's either gonna get blown up or end up in jail or something like that, right? So the plot of this movie is basically dad gets out of jail, wants to spend Christmas with his kid, right? Well, who ends up in jail? Santa.
Santa, of course.
So we gotta get Santa out of jail in order to save Christmas. It's interesting.
That is an interesting story.
It's entertaining. It's on Netflix.
Is it? It's on right now?
It is on right now. Get Santa. And I happen to find it by accident, but it's definitely one of the better accidental finds I've had.
Huh. Damn, Santa was doing time.
Santa.
And how they got, I'm trying to do this without spoiling it. It's so hard.
And then Santa shanks a guy with a sharpened candy cane. That'd be dope.
You've been very, very naughty. Ooh. You've been a real good boy, Lee.
Ouch. All right. I'll steer us out of this one.
That's from Scrooge, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely on the list. But He-Man and She-Ra Christmas, or Masters of the Universe Christmas. I don't know. I don't remember exactly how they titled it. It's on Netflix right now. It's actually been on Netflix, I think, like all year round. It was just like, you know, whatever. Who cares? It's He-Man and She-Ra.
We got the rights.
Have you seen the She-Ra reboot?
I thought about seeing it.
It's actually not bad.
Is it? The whole thing they did with the animation irked me
I heard
that you can look past that.
I have started to accept that. It does look a little weird, but I also watch Steven Universe, so it feels a lot like Steven Universe.
I remember on an earlier podcast that there was a little discussion about there's people that hate Steven Universe.
Yeah.
They don't know Steven Universe.
They don't have souls. This new She-Ra, before I start talking about the old one, I think the concept that she is this, you know, she's Adora first, and then she turns into She-Ra, and she's like kind of like giant, but like the proportions are weird because she turns into like a giant person, to where it's just like everything is amplified, where it's just like her hand width and that sort of thing. It's just like, it makes total sense, because when I was a kid, I would watch He-Man or She-Ra, and they just changed clothes. Like, He-Man had a tan too. So he'd get a tan and less clothes. And it was like, oh, that's He-Man. And he had a booming voice. But
said, hey.
Yeah, right, exactly. But Prince Adam was also jacked. Like, he was huge. And so they changed. Prince Adam was jacked with the weird...
The page boy. The Dutch boy? The Dutch boy.
The Dutch boy cut.
And like, what do you mean?
I'm like, fam, he's also wearing woolly drawers and tights. That's it. He also had woolly drawers, boots, but he just had, like, purple smooth tights.
Can you imagine being the bad guy, like, you're not He-Man?
You sure you're not He-Man? Because you look a lot like He-Man, fam.
I'm only 6'4". He-Man is 6'6".
Yes.
Quite.
Those details.
You probably bench a good 450. But, He-Man was jacked, and so was Skeletor. And the star of this show is obviously Skeletor.
Oh,
because
love Skeletor.
Well, I mean, you know, and that could be said for the whole series of He-Man, but... Skeletor ends so for some reason, you know, spoilers for a 35-year-old show movie, two regular Earth kids in jackets and hats end up back in Eternia.
Oh boy.
And it's snowy for some reason. I think I may be just trying. I'm trying to remember the movie now.
Skeletor versus Gargamel.
Oh God, Skeletor would roast him under the table, yeah. First of all, and then have more powerful magic, because Gargamel was broke out here, man. Let's just keep it real.
Skeletor was really trying to get shit done.
Skeletor was roasting.
He was
like,
a door.
I do want to see Skeletor and Shredder in a roast battle. That's a whole different topic. But, so Skeletor ends up with these two kids for some reason. I'm pretty sure Hordak shows up in it because She-Ra's there. But what's supposed to be the B plot, which ends up being everybody's favorite part of the movie, is Skeletor taking care of these kids, because for some reason they have, you know, he grows a soft spot for them, and they're, you know, he's trying to help them traverse through Eternia, and things
could have probably killed them a million times.
Oh yeah, ton of times. He could have killed them by just leaving them there, you know. So it's them, their dog, and he's just like, you know.
Does a dog have powers?
No.
Darn.
It's a regular. It's like a.
Come on.
It's like an Irish setter, like, you know. So, but I mean, I think the dog helped to melt Skeletor's heart and help him to. So anyway, he helps these kids or whatever, and he starts to feel, or he says, what is this? And it was like, oh, Skeletor, you just feel good about yourself. Or it was like one of those things, it was like, oh, Skeletor, that's love.
Oh, no.
And he was like, I don't want to feel love. I want to be evil. He's just like, can't help it, Doc. I'm pretty sure if you look up, I want to be evil. Skeletor, it'll come. You'll get that clip, and that's the only part that you really need to see, and that's all of Christmas. But it's like, yeah, it should be on Netflix. If not, you can find it at Target for $6.69. Apparently, I'm gonna watch this one with the girls at some point, and I'm sure they'll fall asleep midway through because it's just the filmation animation. It's just not really animation. It's just kind of like they just pose them like this and then move the background.
Mm-hmm. That's half the fun, kids.
Yeah. So remember, you guys actually get things moving on your cartoons. You know, back in the day, we used to like Hanna-Barbera, the repeating background.
Oh yeah.
Where somebody's running.
And then it fades after.
It's like, yeah, let's just run this for a good 2 minutes, same action.
Watch every Disney movie from before the year 2000 and see the same background.
You see the same background. They also recycle animations where you know, like some, if you, you know, overlap the characters, they move in the exact same ways and do a bunch of this, a lot of stuff from Robin Hood and a lot of stuff from Jungle Book matchup. And
Snow White and Sleeping Beauty.
Yes. Sleeping Beauty is so useless.
Yeah.
Aurora, you are useless. And she's in the new, what you call it? She's in the Wreck-It Ralph talking about somebody. Hey, you might have to come save you. I'm like, Aurora, you be quiet. You slept the whole movie.
That's right.
You chill. Men are trash, but you can't say it. Be quiet. Prince Philip fought a dragon.
Yo, he really was.
Yo, Prince Philip came through. Like, you know what I'm talking about? You were actually saved. You be quiet.
King and slave.
You were useless.
Your stepmother dragon. Oh wait, was that dragon? That dragon was her stepmother.
It was Maleficent, but whatever. Whatever. Shut up, Aurora. Okay, if you're watching this, and I know you are.
Most of the princes didn't have to slay a dragon.
That's true.
Even in Little Mermaid, the prince didn't really slay.
He drove the ship into her though.
Yeah.
I mean, Ursula has a legitimate gripe though. Ursula had her lock, stock, and barrel with a contract that she sang the terms and conditions to her for. So
now I'm wondering why we don't have an Ursula movie. Why do we get a Maleficent movie? Sure we'll Where's the one. Ursula one? We
I'm
need an Ursula
sure
one.
I'm very sure we'll get an Ursula movie.
We need it. Disney, hello.
I'm very sure we'll get an Ursula movie, and we'll find out that her and Triton had some kind of, you know.
The kids.
They were either.
Evil people have a TV show.
We're writing the script.
Yeah, we
right here, right now.
This is a fire idea. We're either gonna find out that Ursula and Triton are brother and sister, or that they were ex. That
they were siblings, together. That's her aunt. They're siblings.
I don't know if that's her aunt. I don't know for sure. I don't have any. I personally don't have any evidence.
I'm about to take that. Press me that cup.
This one. You don't want that one. It's got junk in it. Anyway.
Well, this one's about to.
You got one more. No, you got
Since
two more.
Since we were talking about TV people. Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas Special is on Netflix. It is a classic. And there's so many people in it, I don't even know where to begin.
That's always been the story with Pee-wee's Playhouse, though.
Yes, he's always had plenty of people.
Yeah.
But the Christmas special is all those people that you know and love, on top of all these movie stars from back in the day. You've got Charo, you've got Frankie and Annette, you've got Whoopi Goldberg, you've got, oh my gosh. I'm drawing a blank because there's just so many.
And I'm sure Cowboy Troy shows up.
Cowboy Curtis.
Wow. Where am I getting Troy from? Cowboy Curtis, pretty sure shows up.
But what I've always enjoyed about Pee-wee's Playhouse.
I'm sure Rob Zombie was somewhere on set.
Probably right. They need to redo that.
Wasn't he he was a producer, right? Rob Zombie was a producer for Pee-wee's Playhouse. As far as I know.
He's that old?
Yes.
Yeah, he's in his 50s, at least. Paul Rubens is, I think.
Yeah, it's like an insane 65. Amount. Like we're talking about the pedigree of Pee-wee's Playhouse. There were crazy amounts of people who, A, were on in front of the camera, and B, behind the camera. It was just
insane.
Went
on to become big stars, too. But one of the things that I've always liked about Pee-wee's Playhouse, and you know, keep your jokes to yourself about this, guys. He had a good quality kid show. And it's not aged. You watch it now because it was so kitschy that you watch it now and it's really not aged. He had video phone way back in the day, but now people have real video phones. So it's not like it's anything out of the ordinary.
Listen, Get Smart was ahead of its time too.
Yeah. Pee-wee's Playhouse is definitely ahead of its time and it's very, very good. The Christmas special is a bit dated because of some of the stars on there, but if you're our age group, that's half the fun. And kids just like Christmas and they like Pee-wee, so you know,
so
it's really a slam dunk.
Wow, here we go.
All right.
Because I just love before they were stars type stuff. Phil Hartman.
Oh yeah.
Wrote on the show, and also
he was on the show too.
Captain Carl. Rob Zombie was a production assistant. Okay, he was a little homie back then. He was a production assistant on set when he first moved to LA. Of course, Lawrence Fishburne as Cowboy Curtis.
Oh yeah, Epetha
Murkerson.
Yep.
Yep.
She's the chick from the headache commercials.
You. Right.
No, she was in SVU or
she's
one of those.
Law and Order. If you saw her, you'd be like, oh yeah, her.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you saw her as Reba the Mail Lady, you'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That chick's familiar.
John Singleton.
What? Was
also a production assistant.
Wow, they had all these guys just fetching coffee.
Yes.
That are
exactly. Like, Natasha Lyonne.
Wow, I didn't know. She was, who is she, Opal?
One of the three kids who made up the Playhouse Gang on the first season. Wow. Jimmy Smits.
I remember seeing him on there.
Yep, as
jeez.
Sandra Bernhardt.
Dweezil Zappa.
Can you imagine, like, all of this is crazy. Like, listen, kids. Y'all are going to be big after this.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. And that's like just people. These are like, wow, people who showed up on there like all the time. So, yeah. I mean, check out Pee Wee just for nothing else, history. But yeah.
And the King of Cartoons, actually,
he
was an old man. Yeah. But he was, I want to say, he was a famous actor from back in the day that did horror movies or something. I don't remember specifically what.
He was Blackula. I'm pretty sure he was Blackula. King of Cartoons, yes. Hold on. This is too, yeah.
There are so many layers to Pee Wee, it's not even funny.
Google already was like, hey, you're Blackula, right? Yep. Yes, that is definitely Blackula. Oh, wait. One of them.
He was in the movie.
No, William Marshall. It was William Marshall.
To Harlem,
Wow. Both of them.
The Hot Rock.
Yeah, because it was two Kings of Cartoons. Yeah, they changed them eventually. But yeah, it was him. And it was
on Fresh Prince.
And William Marshall. This is history we're talking about, folks. And I'm going to give my last one and the most movie-type movie, Screwed, with Norm Macdonald, Dave Chappelle, and a lady named Ellen Stritch, who you might know better as Rudy's teacher from The Cosby Show.
Oh.
Yes, she was totally not Rudy's teacher from The Cosby Show in this movie. A film where Norm Macdonald plays her butler. She treats him like crap. And he tries to kidnap her dog and ransom the dog for $1 million. Things don't quite work out that way, and people believe that he got kidnapped, and she's, again, she has a butler, so she's like super rich and famous because she had a pie. She was the face and like the business mind behind a pie company. I really wish I could remember the name of it. I won't, because that's just more spoiler. But yeah, check out Screwed by Norm Macdonald, with Norm Macdonald, Dave Chappelle, still a young Dave Chappelle. This might have been like right before or right after Half Baked. But he was like still young, skinny, goofy Dave Chappelle.
But all before Chappelle's Show, Dave Chappelle.
Oh, very much before Chappelle's Show. Like I said, Ellen Stritch is just in there cutting a fool. You can just tell that they like let her, or that she just kind of ran with the role. And there's just like parts where she like, words that she says for a long time, where it's like this guy comes in and like, he says something to her and she's like, who cares? And it like made no sense for her to do it that way. But just, she was like, the character was just that crazy to where it was just like, no, that makes sense for this character. Like, she did a very good job of just being, she for one, you know, we see her as Rudy's teacher. She's acting like a teacher. But like here, it was just like, oh, this is Ellen Stritch. Like, you know, she's at like a one woman show too, where she was amazing. But in Scrooge, she's just completely off the handle and just doing whatever she wants to do, and it makes total sense. Sherman Hemsley is in it. Danny DeVito is in it.
I haven't heard of this movie.
Screwed. So. It is very good. Huh. It's really funny. And, you know, if you're looking for something, I'll watch your Santa movie. You watch Screwed. We'll reconvene.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. You got another one?
My last one that I'm going to mention. My other selection is just embarrassing because there's kids movies that stuff that makes you weepy because we all have that stupid soft spot and we don't want to admit that we get emotional
stupid
watching.
Age making me soft.
So it's like, oh, come on. So we're just going to stay away from those and we're going to go right to one I referenced earlier. Scrooged, classic. Watch it every Thanksgiving Eve to kick off the Christmas season. It's fantastic. It stars Bill Murray as well as his other Murray brothers, which I have Brian Murray and there's one other. So he has a brother that's got a recognizable voice that shows up in a lot of stuff. And when you hear this guy's voice, you'd be like, that's Bill Murray's brother, but he is. And so he shows up playing the role of Bill Murray's dad in a flashback. But Scrooge is basically your classic Scrooge story, except it's in the 1980s.
Right.
And the Scrooge character is not named Ebenezer or anything, but it's a TV executive who's doing a live version of the Scrooge story on Christmas Eve. So it's the story surrounding this live broadcast. And that's where that, you've been a real good boy, Lee, line comes in.
Weird.
Which is one of the, it is the opening of the movie, and it's probably within the first 5 minutes, and it is funny. Straight funny. You've got Carol Kane, you've got Buster Poindexter, or
and
I would whatever
think about
his name is.
Scrooge is that you're like, fam, is he gonna turn around? Like, because you know, it's like Scrooge, the story of Scrooge is always like very, you know, like now you can put it in a 6 minute short and make it like, oh, okay, this is what, you know, you can have I'm pretty sure Tiny Toons did it, and then I'm pretty sure Animaniacs did it right after. You could just,
the best one is the Muppets.
Oh, the Muppet one,
yeah.
That is good. That is good.
But yeah, you can make a Christmas Carol because you know your brain like just kind of bridges it. But for me, when I watched Scrooge, I was like, oh, is he gonna ever turn around? Like, is he ever gonna? No, no, this guy might be a lost cause. Like,
but it's if you watch it now and you watch a lot of movies, one thing you'll notice is the chick from Raiders of the Lost Ark is in there. There's a lot of familiar faces that you know. So it's a solid story. It's just funny.
Very much, yeah. I don't sound like it right now, but it's like, no, it is
funny.
It's very funny.
I like old Bill Murray. Like,
oh, yeah, who doesn't?
He had the driest, funniest.
In Caddyshack.
He just never felt like he was, like, joking. Like,
kind of like Chevy Chase a little bit. Old Chevy Chase, not new
old
Chevy
Chase.
Chase.
Well, Chevy young Chase. Chevy Chase.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember watching Jerk thinking like, well, no, not the Jerk, Fletch. I remember watching Fletch like, does he have any emotions? Like, he's just like, it was really like, man, this guy doesn't care about nothing. But yeah, I think
we don't have anyone like that now, do we?
Well, because everything is so, they lift the curtain on everything now to where, like, even pro wrestling, like, you know, they used to get violent to protect the story behind what was going on. Now, like, everything, you know, you can access people on Twitter, you can find them on, you know, somewhere on YouTube doing another interview where they're out of character.
But in that is where, like, we used to have an issue where comedians just couldn't get out of being peggled into comic.
Yeah.
Now they have, you know, a
like
bit
the
more
crossover. Well,
yeah.
Think about when Lost in Translation came out. You would never in a million years picture Bill Murray in that role. That's a movie. It's you probably saw it when it was newer. And if you watch it now and like think back and you read some articles about how that movie got created in the first place, I think consider like Sofia Coppola, I think, was married to Spike Jonze at the time.
Okay.
And so yeah, it feels more biographical when you know more about her.
I watched it one time because it was like, that was around the time when I was in college, and I was just like, if something was nominated, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch it. You know, I got to see.
Didn't mean it was good, but it was,
It got nominated. I was the same way. Check it out. Yeah. It was, so I ended up watching a bunch of stuff like that. Like,
but that's a really, like Lost in Translation. I remember just laughing. That's a whole different thing.
I remember not laughing at like verbal jokes, but just like stuff that was happening around, like he got in the shower and the shower head is at his chest. And I just died laughing because it was just like, that's racist. But it was like, no, wait a minute, he's in Japan, so.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's probably the average height of whatever it was going to be. It was just hilarious.
But it just says a lot about Bill Murray as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of people can't make that transition and do a serious movie. And right. And since then, he's done other things, but I hope he hasn't peaked.
Zombieland.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think Bill Murray's peaked, but I think he.
No. I don't know.
They get safer as they get older because they want to protect their legacy. Maybe there's some of that happens.
Well, I mean, Bill Murray is also the guy who will just like crash your party. Like there are several stories of him, Bill Murray just running up in random house parties, just like, hey, I'm Bill Murray, pass me a beer, and just hanging out. So. I don't know if he's exactly concerned with anything like that now. So, I don't know.
He's like, I'm Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, man. I'm just hanging out. Well, that's our list. And I typically hate lists, but I think this list is helpful.
It's necessary.
Who just don't want to watch the same old, same old. You know, you're going to watch The Grinch. You're going to watch, like I said, Christmas Story. You're going to watch Saw Christmas. or Home Alone, as some of you may know it as. So
and Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2 got dark. Home Alone 2 got dark. They pulled a gun on a kid. And
why are we laughing at a book?
Because they just didn't care.
Why was it in the back of my head? I'm like, yeah, that's such a New York thing to do.
Yo, they straight pulled a gun on Kevin in the middle of Central Park.
Considering this what he Central did Park. To them in the last movie?
Nah, man, I'm protecting my house, man. Listen, get over it.
You can say you're protecting your house.
I was protecting my house. But I should have killed y'all.
He literally assaulted them.
Yep. Well, they deserved it.
If he had a cat, he could have just thrown a cat at them. That would have done some damage.
Just like every other protective thing where they're like, you hurt them to run away. He didn't run away. He didn't.
I'm in my house. I'm not running anywhere. Yeah, that's actually
what they teach you if you've ever taken any sort of self-defense thing. I'm in my house. If you do anything other than that, you get yelled at by your instructor, and your instructor's like, no, when you get the guy on the ground, you don't start jumping on his back. No. So he, like, went full on.
Listen, fam.
Full on abuser.
You going to.
He liked it.
Well, because, first of all, he has set up enough things outside the house. It was like, don't come in here. Don't come in here.
True.
Don't come in here. And they kept trying to get in this house. Like, if I make my whole stairs icy, and then you're determined, you get through the ice, you stand up, you grab the doorknob, it burns your hand, you still determined to get in this house. Okay, welcome to death.
Like, welcome to the Thunderdome.
This moment really should have been shot.
Listen, fam, I should have just stuck a gun out of the keyhole. The dog door and just finished you off from there. But that's going to be it for us. We're going to finish it there. You want to share your socials so
that
people can stalk you?
If they made sense, I'd have to get my... I'm on Twitter and I'm on some other sites. So just type in writer Emmy Lissette and that should pop up for you. Whatever I'm on, because it's different on different things. Most people have consistency, but not me, for reasons I don't really understand.
I just figured out consistency this year, so you can find us at ILA underscore POW on both the gram and Twitter. You can look for us on Facebook at Isla Powell without the underscore. And it's like a podcast or whatever. IslaPowell.com. IslaPowellHatEver@gmail.com. Questions, comments, concerns. $IslaPowell, ILAPOW, if you want to, you know, throw some money for toy drives. And after the toy drive, if you just decide, hey, you know, I believe in the show, I just want to give these guys money, we'll take it. That's fine.
We'll still find something good to do with it. We'll
do something with it. Remember, we got, like I said, we got Toy Drive, we got Level Ground MMA, so remember those guys. And until then, love, trust, and belief. We'll see you next week. Peace. And all you tweeting sleeper rappers want a part of that movement, like Tuba music students to study revolution like a SUNY Muslim do it. Cause I'm here to bring the people through it. One time for your mind, I blew it, girl. I do it for the people, the people.
Welcome back, hero.